After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Grant, Holy Father, that thy holy word may instruct us in how we may please thee by worthily partaking of the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen. Since we are celebrating Holy Communion today, I'm going to preach on Paul's instruction about communion, since it's been some time since I've preached on that. I am starting a new series next week. Many of you have asked me what the new series will be, and I have, by popular request, I mean Mrs. Weber, and it was seconded by Mrs. Bieliskirski. So I'm going to preach through the book of Romans, Lord willing, I mean Hebrews, starting next Lord's Day. But now, to prepare our hearts for the communion service, let's begin with verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The church at Corinth was treating the Lord's Supper as an ordinary meal with no supernatural element to it. Treating the Lord's Supper as though there were nothing supernatural about it is to take it unworthily. In fact, it's not to have the Lord's Supper at all, Paul says. It's rather to drink and eat condemnation to ourselves. It's interesting in the history of the church how at Corinth the problem was they treated the Lord's Supper as something ordinary. And then by the Middle Ages, the Lord's Supper became something extraordinarily superstitious, with the priest magically turning the host into the true flesh and blood of Jesus. Now, in modern times, many Protestant churches were back to Corinth again, practically, especially in many fundamentalist churches, were assured there's nothing supernatural about the Lord's Supper. It's only a little drama. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. But to understand this, you have to know that the Corinthians and the ancient church were taking communion as a whole real meal. After all, it was based on the Passover meal. The Last Supper was a Passover supper. And it was a whole meal, of which Christ took two elements, bread and wine, consecrating them into the sacrament of communion. So in the early church, the communion was a real meal. It wasn't Passover, but it was a whole meal, like our fellowship dinner. And during that meal, the pastor would take the bread and the wine and consecrate them as sacraments. The people brought their own food. But it wasn't like our fellowship dinner that it was all put on a common table and everyone could take what he liked. People brought their own food for themselves. And so a rich family would bring a sumptuous meal, a magnum of champagne and a roast duck with all the fixings. A poor person, the next table, has a bowl of gruel. So they're showing off their wealth and shaming the poor, and it's not communion because they're not all partaking of the same thing. Furthermore, some were even getting drunk at this Lord's Supper, which rather clearly shows that they weren't drinking Welsh's grape juice. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. St. Paul says he received his knowledge of the Lord's Supper directly from the Lord himself. It's like what he said of the gospel, I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he reminds us that the Lord's Supper was instituted the very night in which Christ was betrayed. This gives a certain solemnity to this sacrament. The night in which he was preparing to be tortured to death for our sins is when he instituted this sacrament. He says he broke the bread, which obviously it was unleavened bread, Passover, same as we use in this church. We use Jewish Passover bread and Jewish Passover wine. All four Gospels, and here in St. Paul's teaching, the breaking of the bread is mentioned. This is called the ceremony of fraction, and you see me do it. I break the bread. Unfortunately, this is omitted in the Roman Catholic Church. It's omitted in many Protestant churches as well. When Jesus says, this is my body, he obviously means this represents my body. It's impossible that the bread Jesus is holding in his hand is the body that's seated at the supper, or the wine is the blood flowing in his veins. These are symbols of his body and blood. But it says, this is my body. You know, this disturbed Martin Luther a great deal, hoc est corpus meum. It says it is my body, so it has to be somehow. So to get away from the Roman teaching of transubstantiation, he made consubstantiation and said, the Lord's body is in, under, and with the elements. But it actually means this represents my body. How can that be if it says this is? Well, you know, at City Hall in Philadelphia, there's a statue of John Wanamaker. If you were standing by that statue and a tourist walked by and said, who is that? You'd say, that is John Wanamaker. The tourist wouldn't say, whom does that statue represent? That statue represents John. No, you'd say, that is John Wanamaker. This is his body and blood. This do in remembrance of me, that you may remember I am he who died for your sins. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Again, you can see the impossibility of taking this literally. Is the cup the New Testament? No, it represents the New Testament. When he says as oft as ye drink it, he doesn't mean every time Christians have a glass of wine together. It means as oft as ye drink it in this manner in Holy Communion. And as you do, you can say you take the blood of Christ, not the literal blood, but spiritually. St. Peter says in his first epistle, we are sprinkled in the blood of Christ. Does he mean literally? No, but it's certainly true. Sprinkled in the blood of Christ, you're baptized in his blood, meaning the benefits of his atonement have been applied to you. And through Holy Communion, the benefits of his atonement, we receive anew the strength in our souls. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Obviously not meant to be a temporary ordinance. It's to be continued in the church until Christ returns at the end of the world to judge the quick and the dead. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. now we are warned of the danger of taking Holy Communion in an unworthy manner, is to be guilty of disrespecting the body and blood of the Lord. If you burn the American flag, you're disrespecting your country. If you partake of Holy Communion unworthily, you're disrespecting Christ. Now, what does he mean by unworthily? It means in an unworthy manner, as the Corinthians were doing. It doesn't mean that you take Holy Communion conscious of your own unworthiness. In fact, being conscious of your unworthiness to take it is a condition for taking it worthily. If you come to communion believing you're worthy of it, you're unworthy. If you believe you're unworthy of it, you can worthily take it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is why, before we have communion, before we actually take the elements, we always have a brief period of self-examination and personal repentance. Let a man examine himself and then take it. A time for sincere personal reflection on what needs to be done to improve your spiritual life, to repent and resolve by God's grace to do better. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This is a serious warning. This sacrament, partaken of unworthily, causes physical problems. Physical weakness, sickness, or even death. Sleep means death for the Christians. Christians are never said to die, they're said to sleep. Their bodies sleep in the grave until the resurrection, their souls are with Christ in heaven. Now you know, as I pointed out many times, when it says damnation in the older English, it doesn't mean what it means in modern English. It means judgment. And in this case, Paul defines it as chastisement, as punishment, but it's not eternal damnation. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So it's a punishment. It's a punishment for the Christian's good, to lead to his repentance so that he will not be condemned with the unbelievers. To avoid such punishment, all you need to do is judge yourself. If you judge yourself, he says, God will not judge you. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order until I come. So we can remember that this ordinance was instituted by Christ himself, given to St. Paul by special revelation, that there's a supernatural element, not a physical but spiritual, to the supper. And if you believe you're unworthy for it, you may take it worthily. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this sacrament, what it represents, our Savior dying, the death that we deserve, bearing the punishment which we have earned, freeing us from the wrath of God, opening to us the kingdom of heaven. We pray that we may always take of this sacrament worthily by discerning the Lord's body and blood, spiritually present, and our Savior himself accompanying these gifts. Amen.